Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, March 26, 2025. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 4:30 today, we're going to hang out with our friends from the ODC. We have Anne, Ashley, and David joining us. Looking forward to that. Right now, we have in studio our friend, Wood County Board Chairman Lance Plimmel. Lance, always good to see you.
Thanks, James. Always great to be here.
You brought in a friend. We've got, we'll introduce in a second, but I want to introduce real quick Wisconsin Rapids Community Media and our friends over there. Do yourself a favor. Go to your search bar on YouTube. Type in there, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. And subscribe to the work they're doing over there. Support local, support the arts, and support our good friends over there. And I want to introduce Dylan here. Dylan, go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience.
Hi, my name is Dylan Kashanek. I'm the criminal justice coordinator for Wood County.
Did you see what I did there, Lance? I made him say his last name so I know how to say it this time.
I'm learning. They have that K and the S right after it. It gets really difficult.
I apologize. My last name's Mailoff, Dylan. You can mess it up all you want. But I appreciate you being here, man. And I'm really looking forward to talking with you, getting to know your job and what you do in our community a little bit more. I'll do that in a second. Lance, I wanted to start with you, if you don't mind. Our new courthouse area has a new entrance. We want to let everybody know about that.
Yeah, James, this will all lead into this perfectly because we'll get up to the part of the new construction that Dylan is going to use. So as you approach the courthouse, there's a new entrance, new security. I'm not going to say north, south, east, or west because my wife always asks, you know, does that mean right side, left side? As you're looking at the courthouse, to the right of the old entrance is the brand new entrance. It's the glassed-in area, the new security area. So when you enter the courthouse, you're going to go in there. Mm-hmm. Don't go to the old one. That's going to be emergency entrance or exit only, I guess, not an emergency entrance.
Thanks for that.
So when you walk through that new one, you're going to walk into that brand new jail facility, which we started to occupy this weekend, which in one of the things that we looked at when we built that facility was additional programming, the way to rehabilitate people, the way to reintroduce them into the community. And that's Dylan's job.
Yeah. And Dylan, I saw it this morning that Lance was going to be bringing you in, and I got very excited. Oftentimes, I really want time to prep these interviews so that I can do a good job for the audience and do right by our guests. With this one, I didn't really need to do that. I've wanted to talk to you for a while, and this goes back years. We talk with Sheriff Sean Becker once a month, and Sean and I have become good friends on air, off air. And one of the reasons is because I believe Sean is the perfect man for the job in this particular moment in time. And I felt that way for quite some time. And I say that because the first conversation we had was about ending the revolving door of criminals and the idea of how we do that. Now, my whole life, and I come from the other side of the tracks, I'll be honest with you, with what I'm used to is, oh, well, that means higher bail bonds. That means higher crime punishments and these things. And if you look at the history of this, that does not add up to ending that revolving door. But what a big part of what does is, why did you commit this crime? What are you doing? What happened here? Now, for every knucklehead out there, and there are just knuckleheads, that's just life, there are people who are doing things for certain reasons. And the only way to stop that revolving door is to find those things out. You know this better than most, I would imagine. And I want to get into that with you, along with the programs you are doing over there in the new jail and how that's developing. But before we do any of that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? This is the first time we're getting to know you, and our audience is getting to know you a little bit. So tell us a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind.
Sure. So I started in this field, I guess the criminal justice world. I went to school at UWSP. I'm actually from Wisconsin Rapids. I grew up south of Rapids. I went to Lincoln High School. I graduated in 2010. I went directly to UWSP, where I graduated in 2014, got into the criminal justice world, kind of the community corrections world. I worked for Portage County Health and Human Services for a little over 7 years, and then I transitioned to Wood County and was actually worked directly with the jail and with Sean as the Wood County Jail Discharge Case Manager, I think was my official title. So I was a Wood County Human Services employee, but I partnered with the Sheriff's Department and was helping in the jail. And then in January of this year, I transitioned into my current role, which is the Criminal Justice Coordinator. So still working with the same population. I've been working with the population a little over 10 years, but my role has changed a couple times. But overall, still working with the same folks, still passionate about helping the same people. So
appreciate that. Thank you for sharing that, Dylan. For the visual audience that is able to catch us on YouTube, you're going to notice that Dylan is has style. You look good. You dress well, man. Given that could have gone into fashion, could have gone into a couple of different industries. You got a nice voice. I'm glad you didn't go into radio. I need this job. All that said, why this field? Why did you choose to do this for a living?
Honestly, that's kind of a loaded question. There's a lot of layers to that. I guess at a very, for lack of a better term, superficial level, it was because this is a population that I care greatly about. I guess that's like the superficial is the wrong word, but like at an entry level, at the most basic level.
Yeah.
This is a population that I care very deeply about, and this is a population that I think deserves more opportunities than they've been given historically. I guess that's probably the easiest answer to a very complicated and difficult question.
You care. I've just met you, and I can tell you care, that it's genuine, that this area, the people in this area, you give a darn. And that goes a long way. It's such a huge first step in this process. And really with anything we're talking about, especially this field and especially with what you're doing. And let's talk about that a little bit. I asked you, what is your job description? How do you describe what you do?
So my current job description, I guess, is to oversee the Criminal Justice Department at the most basic level. I guess if you dig into that a little bit, that entails a couple of different things. So our department, the Criminal Justice Department, is made up of a couple of different programs at this time. I think the long-term goal is for it to expand to include more programming, more opportunities. Right now, we are involved with the jail on a couple of different initiatives. One of them is the medication-assisted treatment program. So a couple years back, the jail, the sheriff's department, I guess, wanted to start offering medication-assisted treatment to the individuals who are housed there. And that was something that my department oversees. So I have a nurse practitioner on my staff, and I also have a case manager on my staff that are responsible for that program. We also have, in this new jail, and actually fairly recently, we've gotten involved with Three Bridges Recovery. They've been hosting a recovery pod in the jail now for several years, and we are now partnering with them, as well as the Sheriff's Department, to offer more programming in that pod. So at one time, I guess historically, there have been components to that, and we're trying to add as much as we can to provide as many opportunities as we can for treatment and recovery options in the jail for the folks who are committed to either investigating or pursuing a recovery lifestyle.
And what do you see as the benefits of this for our community, for our society?
Again, a loaded question. There's a lot of layers to
Lance
that.
Lance warned you. It's what I do.
I mean, because there's so many layers to this world, and I guess there are so many benefits to offering programming, to offering opportunities to individuals in the jail. Traditionally, you go to jail, you sit in jail, you serve a 6-month sentence, you sit for 6 months and you get out, and that's what you did. You serve time. Programs like this provide an opportunity for individuals to address their needs in the jail, to pursue growth, to pursue recovery, to pursue progress in the jail. Traditionally, someone goes to jail, they're serving time, they're being sanctioned, they're being punished for their behavior. But there's when they if they want to improve, they have to wait 6 months. They have to make. I mean, there's so many things you can do individually, personally, to improve. But there aren't opportunities within the jail setting traditionally. So what you're seeing around the state is a push to offer more programming in jails, to offer treatment opportunities in jails, to offer. I mean, some counties, including our own, are trying to get a clinical component where we're actually getting clinical providers into jails to offer one-on-one counseling to individuals, and that's one of the parts of our new recovery residential program in the new jail that we're really excited about. Is we have the opportunity to bring in folks from the community to actually provide clinical counseling to those that we serve in the jail.
James, they're just ill-prepared to return to society. Those behaviors have not been modified, and everybody sees the cost of a jail, but you don't see the social cost. the kids that they have, that they're raising, those other concerns. And, you know, that's where Dylan's role is so important, as we try to reacclimate, bring these people back in as productive members of society.
Yeah, it's my job to be just a questioner right now, but I can't help but be taking some of this personal and thinking about myself, my brother, my sister, and the way we grew up and what we grew up with, and my dad and a lot of the situations with him and everything. I'm extremely lucky and rare in this. My father, after a lifetime of knuckleheadedness and some of those things, my dad right now, I almost guarantee you, is sitting there playing with his football and baseball cards and driving my mom crazy. And that's the worst thing he'll do today and probably the next 20 years. Like, it just doesn't happen very often. But I bring him up, and I bring him up a lot, in part because he has allowed me to, and because he wants to be that for people. There are few people in this world that you would look at Jim Maloff's rap sheet and think that his story would end this way. But it is in part because of guys like Sheriff Becker, because of people that were giving him an opportunity and showing him that there was more to life than this. When the first time he got locked up, he went and made sure to get his GED and some of these things. It worked out a lot. But there's more to it, as you're talking about, than that. And I think when it comes to it being a loaded question, part of the reason I would imagine it is because there are so many benefits to this. That we're not, and to anybody out there that may have a looking at this a little funny or anything like that, let's cover that right away. This is an investment. This is smart business, doing this with our society, doing this with people. It may not be comfortable, may not like me saying it that way, but a lot of people like looking at the world as businesses these days. So let me talk to you that way about it. If somebody gets through this program and those 6 months go by and they come out of any of these programs, the diversity, any of this stuff, better, what are they going to do? They're going to get a job. They're going to be a taxpayer. They're going to be doing, et cetera. They may be working at on a board somewhere, be a volunteer somewhere else or something like that. That is an investment in society. That lower taxes, different things like this. Now, I would like to think that people would just do this because it's a good thing to do and it's the right thing to do. But if I can't reach your heart, maybe I can reach your wallet. And it's a smart financial thing to do, to have, it's not help. It's doing the exact opposite, just letting things go the way we have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the most, I'm just kidding, the most visible part of this is probably our Delta Drug Treatment Court. People see that, they see the successes. But this took buy-in from a lot of people. You know, obviously the Sheriff's Department, but the judges, Judge Wolf to step up, as we started these programs, Human Services and all of the other probation and parole and all the people that sit together in our staffing, it's a major commitment.
We did you have something there? I didn't want to cut you off, man.
I was just going to say, Lance brought up the Adult Drug Treatment Court, and I didn't even hit on that. I specifically brought up the jail programs, but yes, we also have our Adult Drug Treatment Court, and that is probably the most intensive programming we offer as a department, and probably in the county. That's a 15-month minimum program where folks, they start the program, they get all the group treatment they need, all the group therapies they need, they get their individual counseling, they get case management, they have all these different people in the community, all these partners. So our role in that, my department's role in that, is to kind of connect all these different agencies we work with, the DA's office, the public defender's office, the private bar. We work with the judges, we work with probation and parole, human services. I mean, the list goes on, and we have all these community partners, and our role is to bring everyone together. And what can we offer people? What can we do to put these individuals we're working with in this treatment court in the best position to be successful moving forward? And that's the program, I guess, that's associated with my department that, like Lance said, that's the most visual, because these folks are in the community. They come in from day one to month 15, and you can see a significant amount of progress. And the people that take that program seriously and look at it as an opportunity, they're given a lot of opportunities, and a lot of people rock it, and a lot of people do great things with that, with the opportunities they're given, and they really take advantage of that opportunity to be in a community program rather than in prison or in jail for a long-term jail sentence, because they get to be in the community, they get to still be with their families, they get to work, they get to do all of these positive things that, I guess, in short, that allow them to stay in the community. And that's something I'm very passionate about, is sitting in jail or sitting in prison, you don't have the opportunities you have in the community. It's just you don't have the opportunities with your own family, with your own support network, and you don't have the opportunities to grow, because there's only so much that can be offered in a jail setting. So I am also very passionate about what we're doing in the community and our community programming, and we hope to expand on that in the coming years as well.
And two quick things before we get into the space and the new jail area and how you'll be able to take advantage of some of that and everything for these programs. One thing that I know, just because I've had this conversation with so many people in the community and talked about similar things like this, a big first step, if not the first step in all of this, is accountability. It is certainly owning your life and owning the mistakes you've made or what have you. Nobody is skating past that. And nothing can really come without that. You've got to own your mistakes. You've got to own what, you know, your place in this world and what you were in jail for, or what it is. It's a big part of this. So as far as anybody, you know, getting a pat on the back or something like that, that's not, we're talking about people who have already been, you know, through the court system. There's no getting around that part of it. But that part of it is one of the greatest gifts for these individuals. That realization is part of how they grow and succeed. By owning these things and by accomplishing, it's one of the first things you are able to look at and build yourself back up with. I know this because I saw it firsthand. It's something where, okay, I own this in my life. Yeah, I own that in my life. Now I can move on. Not forgetting anything, but certainly being able to build on that. It's a big part of this, I would imagine, from your perspective. I know it is from what I've seen.
Yeah, a lot of folks get trapped. I mean, and it's a very easy thing to get trapped in. We get trapped in either denial, shame, guilt. We either feel bad about the things we've done, and it's hard to get out of that cycle, that like shame and guilt cycle, or it's really hard to get out of that denial cycle, because it's for a lot of folks, and I see this every day in all aspects of my life. It's really easy to minimize the things we've done. It's really easy to justify the poor decisions that we make. But like you said, growth is not possible without that accountability, without looking in the mirror and saying, I should have handled this better. I should have done this better. I should have done this differently. But we as a society like to, in general, I'm speaking in generalizations right now, but as a society in general, I feel like we like to define people by the choices they've made and the choices they continue to make. But that's the key. We can continue to make different choices. We can grow, and we can kind of change how we're identified by society by the choices we're actively making. But like you said, the first step is wanting to make that change and being self-aware enough to realize what changes need to be made and holding ourselves accountable.
And we all know that the only perfect people out there are moms. So we can all move on. None of us are moms here. We can move on from that. Dylan, I did want to take a moment to talk about some of the new space that is over there with the new jail and how you're able to use some of that for some of these programs and what you're doing with them.
Yeah, so I'm not the captain of the jail. I'm not the sheriff. They probably have way more insight into it than I do.
Captain of the jail seems like an interesting title. Yes. Seems like
but yeah, so there's a jail captain, and that's the, I guess, the head honcho in the jail. And then obviously Sheriff Becker is the head honcho on the sheriff's department there. But they probably have more insight than I do. But from my perspective, the old jail, we had there was a library in there. That was where most of the group programming took place. We called it a library, and then there were two conference rooms, and that was where a lot of your individual conversations could occur. So when I was working as the jail discharge case manager, I did a lot of stuff in both of those rooms. But that was it. That was what you had to interact. In this new facility, it's four stories. There are multiple conference rooms. There are multiple interaction spaces, I guess, for lack of a better term. And the really interesting part of it is that the fourth floor of the jail, there is space set aside for two recovery pods. And that's kind of where my department is heavily involved. Is the fourth floor, you're going to have folks from the recovery pods, folks who are working in the jail, so your inmate workers, those that are working in the laundry space, those that are working in the the kitchen, I guess. Mm-hmm. But these recovery pods, there's a meeting room up there. There's actually multiple meeting spaces up there, and there's the ability to meet with people within the pods as well. So it works out really well, because now we can offer more programming, because instead of sharing one meeting space with everyone in the jail, we have devoted meeting space for the folks that are in our recovery pod. So we can bring in more programming. So instead of the Three Bridges offers a really great cognitive behavioral group programming. But now we're able to bring in, we can bring in AA just for our recovery pod folks. We can bring in NA just for our recovery pod folks. We can bring in, like I said before, something that I'm really excited about is we can bring in a clinical provider from the community just for our recovery pod folks. So folks who are in jail who are saying, hey, I really want to work on my recovery and I want to be exposed to these different opportunities. And they're going to get a chance to experience a lot of different things. And our goal was to try to create a well-rounded, because not everything works for everybody. And everybody has to kind of find their own path in life of how to be successful and how to find, especially when you talk about recovery, everyone has their own recovery journey. So to me, it was really important, and this is something we're still actively working on, of what can we bring into this space that's going to expose folks. Some folks have never done any treatment. They've never been to counseling. They've never done a group therapy. So how can we expose people to a group environment? How can we expose them to like a 12-step environment? How can we get them connected to peer support? How can we get them connected to one-on-one counseling? How can we get them connected to either talking about trauma and like trauma programming? How can we get them talking about mindfulness and bringing all these different things to the table? Because for me, 12-step programming might work great. I might really align with AA and what AA does, and that might be the biggest thing in my recovery. But for the next person at the table, they might love the individual counseling. And now when they come out of jail, they have experienced that, and they can say, on their way out of jail, they can sit down and talk to the discharge case manager, and they can say, hey, I've been in this recovery pod, and I have benefited tremendously from this individual counseling. Can we set this up in the community? And then because of the choices that have been made within the county, that's a possibility, because there's a discharge case manager who's then able to say, hey, what worked for you in the recovery pod? What do you want us to set up so that when they walk out of that jail, they have immediate services in the community, rather than get out of jail and then they reach out. And just the nature, there's so many people right now who are reaching out for help and who are trying to work on themselves that there are waitlists in the community. There's waitlists for individual counseling. There's waitlists for group counseling. Mm-hmm. So by doing this, we're hopefully providing them with opportunities to experience things in the jail, but then the next person, because this is all a team, you know, we're all kind of working together.
Yeah.
The next person down the line is going to then also help them set up with services so that when they get out of jail, they can continue those services without a gap, and also get them connected to a primary care doctor, get them connected to whatever they need, medications, whatever. And it's the goal is we can take folks from in the jail. They're serving their sentences, they're serving their time, they're being held accountable for the decisions they've made, but now they're growing and they're walking out of the jail and they're having opportunities to continue that growth in the community uninterrupted. And I think that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah,
and just so you know, this is not a soft on crime thing, James. This is a nonviolent offender kind of thing where we can get them back into the community.
Yeah. I really, really appreciate the conversation today, guys. And Dylan, you're going to have to come back. We got plenty more to talk about, plenty more questions for you. Thank you so much for what you're doing in the community. Same to you, Lance.
Well, James, you know, I brought him because he's a rock star.
Yeah.
You're going to have him back here without me. He was a little concerned coming in. I'm sure you'll spend a lot of time here.
Oh, yeah. We're bringing you back, man. Thank you for the time, both of you, and what you're doing in our community. We appreciate you and appreciate our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media as well. Well, a more Midday Magazine coming up right here at WFHR.